Greetings, 91-week Voyagers. This is Pastor George, and it's good to be back with you again as we nearly finish out the Gospel of John this week, specifically chapters 10 through 20. It looks as though Pastor Soper thought it was best to finish out this fabulous Gospel with chapter 21 next week, so that's what we're going to do. As I read through our 11 chapters this week, however, I felt as though I was on a high-speed electromagnetic train zipping through the beautiful countryside, but unable to stop and take it all in. The scenery of Scripture in these chapters is so breathtaking and filled with kingdom secrets that I just wanted to camp out here for the next 11 weeks and take it all in. The Gospel of John is not meant for high-speed travel. Instead, it's meant for a much slower and deliberate approach to meeting with Jesus and seeking after him, meditating upon his words and listening for what the Spirit might whisper to us. Scheduled approaches to Bible reading, like 91 weeks or reading through the Bible in 1 year, certainly have their place and are extremely valuable, but they aren't inherently devotional, if that makes sense. In other words, if this is all you do, you'll certainly learn about God, but it'll be hard to experience him in a relational way if you don't take the time to stop and get off the train. That's why I always cycle through the Gospels at a slower pace when working my way through a scheduled Bible reading plan like 91 weeks, because we all need to get off the train and walk slowly through the meadows, sitting among the flowers as we spend intimate time in the presence of Jesus. That being said, there's so much in this week's reading that could translate into transformational principles, but it's too hard to choose, so I'm just going to share some observations with you. First, I was struck by the number of times, 14 by my count, that Jesus made it a point to verbally express that he was sent from heaven. For example, in chapter 12, verse 44, Jesus shouted to the crowds, "If you trust me, you are trusting not only in me, but also in God who sent me." Now, these 14 sent statements can be easily overlooked, but they shouldn't be, because they're powerful claims and declarations by Jesus that he's no ordinary man, but that he is God in human flesh, who came or was sent from heaven on a rescue mission for the benefit of all mankind. These are clear claims to his deity. Jesus is the almighty sovereign God who walked in person among his creation. Another verse that never gets old or challenging and that I need to hear often is verse 25 of chapter 12. When Jesus said, "Those who love their life in this world will lose it, while those who care nothing for their life in this world will keep it for eternity." Wow. If you ever wanted a verse that's summarized in two brief sentences what living life as a disciple of Jesus should look like, this would be it, wouldn't it? After all, a commitment to follow Jesus should mean embracing a lifestyle of self-denial and placing the needs of others ahead of ourselves. However, I think part of our problem in the American church is that we want to follow Jesus, but we also want to follow the world at the same time. And I think that's why the modern day church looks so much like the world today, because we seem to pursue and value the same priorities. Things like physical health, materialism, entertainment, safety, and my two vices, convenience and comfort, instead of pursuing things like spiritual health, sacrifice, love and holiness, and forgiveness, and all the fruits of the Spirit. It's important for us to remember that Jesus warned us we cannot serve two masters. It's got to be one or the other, and the choice is ours. And if we choose to lose our life for his sake, we'll find it for eternal life. Something else that stood out to me about these chapters are the numerous times Jesus referenced the coming of the Holy Spirit to all of those who belong to him, 6 times by my count. He repeated the fact that although he was going away, something that was very hard for his disciples to even comprehend and accept, he wouldn't leave them alone. Instead, he would send them another helper. I would encourage you to study deeper these 6 passages and examine exactly what Jesus said regarding the coming of the Holy Spirit and why that is a benefit to you. Now, I'll quickly mention the references now so you can write them down and look them up later. So go ahead and grab a pen. And I'll include one from our reading last week to make a total of 7. First, John 7:39. Chapter 7, verse 39, chapter 14, verses 15 through 17, chapter 14, verse 26, chapter 15, verse 26, chapter 16, verses 7 through 8, chapter 16, verses 13 through 15, and finally, chapter 20, verse 22. And I'm going to finish up today by highlighting one more takeaway from our reading this week. And let me start by saying there's a shortage of truth these days as the world and the devil continue to spoon-feed us lies and deceptions, and people are buying into those lies hook, line, and sinker. In fact, I'm utterly amazed at the godless agendas people have bought into and support, especially within churches. Although I could spend the next hour reviewing some of those common deceptions, for the sake of time, I'll just mention one. And that's the great deception of origins, that we descended from lower life forms rather than having been created by God in the image of God. It's my opinion that this one lie has caused more damage to mankind than any other, for many reasons, the least of which is that it discredits God's word, something the devil loves to do, and began way back in the garden. The good news is, our reading this week reminds us that Jesus has given us access to 2 lie detectors in order to help us sort and filter through the lies and deceptions we're constantly confronted with. And they are His Holy Spirit, and secondly, His Word. Jesus said in chapter 16 of John, verse 13, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will what? Guide you into all truth. And then a little later in chapter 17, verse 17, while praying to His Father, He said, make them, meaning His followers, make my followers holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. Praise God. He has covered all the bases by providing us with more than sufficient countermeasures to engage in the battle for truth. He has not left us to our own devices. His word and His spirit are spiritual weaponry designed not only to help us grow as effective disciples, but also to help us overcome all the lies of the enemy. What treasures did you discover in this week's reading, or will you discover as you venture into this week's reading? The Spirit of God is there to whisper to your heart. Get off the train a little bit, slow down, and see what the Spirit would say to you. This is Pastor George. Have a great week.